Keep pushing. Hey, keep fighting. You're going to step it up.
Everybody working. Now challenge each other.
You want? I'll fight for it.
Drop, go, go, go.
Ready to draw. Let's go.
He's playing the main, baby. Let's get him.
Oh, fuck. Hey, he's out. 60 minutes. Go, man. 60 plus minutes.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you from our Xfinity studio here at the NovaCare Complex. It's Wednesday, and it's Eagles-Giants week. And yeah, I know things are down at 3-6, but always a lot of intrigue here. Always a lot to talk about on the docket today. We find out a little bit more about the quarterback situation. Andy Reid will address the media. Will it be Vince Young? Will it be Michael Vick? Will it be Mike Kafka? Who knows? Andy Reid comes along at about 11:40. We are also going to talk about some of the serious injuries the Eagles have. And I think one topic of conversation that I'd like to hear from you about is DeSean Jackson. He goes on NFL Network last night and kind of stirs the pot up again, saying that he was not aware of any other players who'd been made inactive after missing a meeting. We will play that clip for you a little bit later in the show. Certainly that will be a topic of conversation among the media today, so we'll make it a topic of conversation among us today as well. We'll take your predictions. We'll talk Eagles. We'll talk 3-6. We'll talk hopefully getting to 4-6, beating the Giants on Sunday Night Football. First things first, though, we take a little break here, and then the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, comes in to give his perspective. Tough times for everyone. An unforeseen situation here with this football team. What happens next for the Eagles? We'll find out what Merrill has to say about that on the other side here on Eagles Live.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going? Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Hey, to the Sean and he'll show you. No one moves like Shady.
It goes to McCoy. Up the middle. He's in the 30. 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. He is in. Touchdown, McCoy.
I'm LeSean McCoy. You're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to eibandme.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We are inside the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, through these tough times. Merrill, how you doing? I mean, how you holding up through this very difficult time?
When times get tough, the tough get tougher.
Yes,
that's
and,
it.
And we've
well,
been
I mean, what
this
can you do?
Before.
It's been tough. No, I haven't been through this many times before. I've been through bad seasons, Dave. But I haven't been through a season where a team with this much hope, with these kind of expectations, is for all practical purposes hanging on by a thread. That I haven't been through. This is unique.
Yeah, it is. It's true. Two months ago, there were so many expectations. The Eagles had just come off beating the Rams. Sloppy game, but 1-0. Feeling good, healthy. And then it's just morphed into this.
Well, and then there was
2-6.
That.
2-6.
And then there was that interruption where after losing four straight games, they beat Washington before the bye, and we said, you know what, some pretty good signs there. And then they annihilated Dallas right after the bye, and you said, you know what, they've got it. They've got it. It's clicking in, and I'm not saying they're going to run the table, but this team's still going to win their 10 or 11 games. I truly believed that at the time. And then the disappointment against the Bears, and still, you know they lost to a good Chicago team. But to lose to Arizona the way they lost this past week is unacceptable and inexplicable.
Why? What are you not seeing from this football team? Earl, name a couple of things that
well,
you thought you'd see that you're not seeing.
See, here's the thing that bothers me the most. I wish I could say that in this game they made this mistake, and in that game they made that mistake. And they've got to stop doing this and that and put this all together. But the problem is, Dave, we're looking at patterns. We're looking at turnovers that have hurt them in every game. We're looking at fourth quarter leads that have been relinquished five times. I can't imagine five times that this team has lost fourth quarter leads, that they haven't been able to put down the hammer. Now, Andy makes the explanation because like a good coach, like a wise coach, he never points fingers to one side of the ball. He'll never say it's all the defense. He'll say, well, we might have relinquished fourth quarter leads, but the offense could have scored more points. And he's right about that. Mm-hmm. Offense could have scored more fourth quarter points. But the great teams have that defense when it absolutely has to seal the deal. They stop that big play. How many times over the season have we seen this game come down to one more defensive play where they need one play to shut down a team on third down fourth down.
Yeah.
And if they make this play, the game is theirs. And they don't do it.
Yeah.
They don't do it. Now, I'm not saying that the offense should be absolved from blame because they didn't do the job, particularly on Sunday against Arizona. That was a bad game. But it's to me, it all starts with the defense.
So can it be salvaged to the point where you, I don't know, playoffs or not, where you end the season on an upbeat note feeling about this team? Is there, do you see a scenario where we can look ahead and
I don't honestly see a scenario, Dave, where if they don't make the playoffs, you say, well, at least they're ready for next year. It's like a baseball team having a bad season, but once they're out of it, they win a slew of September games. I don't see that. If you don't make the playoffs, this year is a disappointment, and it's a failure for the Eagles if they don't make the playoffs. However, I think you can see signs. I think you can see players emerge and put things behind them and show character and fight their way right through to the final game. I think if this team puts together a string of wins and shows that they are a team, that they are unified, that they are on the way back, I think you can be encouraged by what happens over the past seven games. But I don't think Andy Reid, and I don't think anybody in the front office, or I don't think Michael Vick or Trent Cole or anybody would say, well, you know what, we didn't make the playoffs, but there are good things about the season. I think it hurts. I think, to be really honest, a team with this talent, with these expectations, not making the playoffs is a disappointment in any way you measure it.
Merrill, I mean, we literally could be having this conversation for the next 7 weeks, so I don't want to get too much into the end of the season scenarios here. Let's talk about DeSean Jackson. He is in a tough spot. He has put the team in a tough spot. What he did on Saturday, missing a team meeting the day before a very important game, inexcusable. And I wonder, from your standpoint, as this whole Jackson thing has unfolded, your read on where it has gone to this point and then maybe where it will go from here?
Well, I see him in the locker room, and Deshaun has been friendly and has never looked like he's sulking to me. And I'm at the conferences with the coordinators every week, and I have heard Bobby April say, what, the 5-6 times about Deshaun Jackson, that he is more professional in his approach, that he is doing more than he's ever done. Bobby has been his greatest supporter. You've heard that, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean,
you've heard that.
But he missed a meeting the day before a game.
Right, and you can't do that.
Has it affected his play, do you think, the contract issue?
I don't know. It's tough to get into a guy's subconscious. I don't think Deshaun Jackson goes out on the field and puts anything other than his best effort forward. I don't know. Is there something in his subconscious that puts kind of a governor on how hard he goes across the middle or whether or not he gambles on a punt return? That's not for me to say. I can look at results. I can say that in the past, Deshaun Jackson has been probably the most dangerous punt returner that this team has ever had. And right now, there's no longer the buzz. There's no longer the electricity when he drops back to as the deep man on a punt. You
Agreed.
Don't feel that
Agreed.
Anymore.
Agreed.
Before,
has he lost his burst?
I don't think he's physically lost anything. I can't imagine that he's slowed down at this age. At this part of his career.
Has it been figured out?
No, I don't think you can figure out Devin Hester. I don't think you can figure out Deshaun Jackson. I don't think you can. I think you can contain a guy from week to week, like the kind of jobs the Eagles have done on Hester and last week on Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm. I think that's outstanding. I think you are going to find special teams, coverage units, that from time to time can contain him, but that at some point a Deshaun Jackson will break loose. And you just can't account for him.
You know, this offense, Merle, I really expected this to be such a dynamic, point-producing offense, multi-skilled. And at times, like this Dallas game, they look like that. And then at times, the turnovers have really hurt them. And then the last two games, there just hasn't been a rhythm. There hasn't been a flow. I wonder what's going on with the quarterback.
I don't know. I think he's been beaten up. And I think the fact that he cracked his ribs on the second play of the game explains the fact that he had trouble throwing with accuracy. I think that explains an awful lot because I said on the broadcast that I had never seen Michael Vick as off target in any uniform, Atlanta and Philadelphia. Or you want to go to Vatek, I'll go there too. Michael Vick is a terrific passer and has become a better passer and a better quarterback working under Marty Morningwig in his years as an Eagle. But he's struggling right now. The whole team is struggling right now, except for
Shady
McCoy, who's just as good a running back as I've ever seen in an Eagles uniform. So I think it's tough to say what's exactly happened to Michael, except that he has taken a pounding, and it has a cumulative effect. But I still think that Michael Vick is capable this Sunday of lighting it up.
Do you think he plays against the...
Well, see, again, we have to find out from Andy. I would not be surprised if he plays. He's one of the toughest guys that I have ever seen. I think that Michael himself will lobby to play. We've seen other quarterbacks, Tony Romo for one, this year play with cracked ribs. Tom Brady played with cracked ribs. They've done it, and they've gotten by. And it all depends, though, where the ribs are cracked, how the throwing motion is affected. That I'm not Dr. DeLuca, so I couldn't. Really, or Rick Burkholder, I couldn't really give you a prediction about that. But I would say that if there's any way that Michael Vick can be out there, he will be.
Merle, what does this game at 3-6 against the Giants mean to the Eagles, do you think?
Everything. Everything. Because if they feel that they go into this game knowing that now we're really, we talked about games being critical before.
If we talked about must-win games.
And for most of us and for the fans, they put the playoffs out of their mind. They simply say, well, this team's not going to the playoffs. But from a mathematical standpoint, if the Eagles take each game individually and win it, and somehow, and again, we're talking miracle. Mike said this team has a steep climb ahead of it. I said steep. I said they have Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
But if they beat the Giants this week, that's a big win. That's a big win. And then you have the next week against New England. That's going to be a fun game for the fans to come and watch. The Patriots and Tom Brady. But the Patriots' defense this year is not very good. So, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I want to they have to take each game right now as saying this really is it. Because to me, 7 losses means you're done. Yeah. And in terms of playoffs, you're absolutely done. If they can keep the number at 6 for another week and then go into the next game and still keep that number at 6, hopefully they can play the kind of football that we anticipated from the beginning. Hopefully the missed tackles are now made and the balls that are tipped go into the hands of the Eagles. And there aren't broken assignments and missed plays and mistakes and penalties. How about the penalties? They just kill you.
It's so disappointing. Yet, Merle, I come out of this conversation feeling I'm ready to go. It's a must-win game on Sunday night.
Hey, it's the Meadowlands.
It's the
Eagles and the New York Giants. And it's still fun.
Yeah.
And it's still excitement.
Of course.
And it's still the national stage.
Yeah.
And you know what? I walked out of here with my head down on Sunday. I mean, Eagles just lost to the Arizona Cardinals and their backup quarterback. And I felt absolutely awful. And I had trouble jumping out of bed on Monday morning. We all did.
Right.
We all felt that way. I mean, it was a beautiful sunny day, and it might as well have been dark clouds and cold rain.
Yeah.
And yet, here we are a couple of days later, and it's the Eagles and the Giants, and once again, I can't wait.
Merle, I'm right there with you. We thank you so much for coming by the studio, and good luck on Sunday night. I hope you have a great broadcast, and I hope the Eagles
have a great game.
Your loyalty and your passion with a victory.
Well, I just hope we have a good script.
Yeah.
And a script that has the proper ending. This team's had some great moments, but
fourth quarter it is we'll get into that. We have plenty of weeks to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because the fourth quarter has been so un-Andy Reid like, it's amazing to me. Merle Reese in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hey Eagles fans, I'm Randall Cunningham and you're watching Eagles Live.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hi everyone, I'm Eagles cheerleader Kat, and I'm here to talk about my favorite high school sports moment. My favorite moment was actually my senior year of high school, and it was at a football game. We were all cheering, and our team was actually down by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and everyone was very discouraged. It was pretty upsetting, and all of a sudden it just started to pour rain. And you would think that we would all be more upset and more distraught about it, but it actually pumped everybody up, and we ended up winning by 2 points. And it just goes to show that it doesn't have to be a large game, it doesn't even have to be about winning, but the smallest thing can really pump up your team, and it Every time I think about it, it reminds me of how important school spirit is. I encourage you to go on to philadelphiaeagles.com/rally and talk about your favorite high school sports moment. You could win an Eagles-themed pep rally for your high school with appearances from Swoop, Eagles alumni, and of course, the Eagles cheerleaders.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Steve, what do we know? No, you've been on the phone a little bit here. Has DeSean Jackson lost that Eagles locker room?
Yeah, and you might think about him missing that meeting and getting benched for such that crucial loss to Arizona Sunday that his teammates might have a problem with him. But I spoke to offensive lineman Todd Harriman on our Cover 2 podcast today. He said that is not the case. To quote Harriman's, a lot of people might look at DeSean and think he's very selfish, but he's not. DeSean is one of the best teammates you can have. Then Harriman's added this. There's a lot going on outside of the actual game for him this year that I don't know the ins and outs of, but I don't really think he's in trouble of losing the locker room. One of the things Coach Andy Reid hammers on is the little things. You lose 5 games and certain things start slipping, like showing up late to a meeting and not coming to a meeting at all. Reid is going to make an example of that. Now, I also asked Harriman's about his former position coach, Juan Castillo, being moved to defensive coordinator, and what was his reaction when he found out about that? Harriman said he was shocked, not because he didn't think that Castillo was up to the job and because Castillo was a very hard worker, but the move from offensive line to defensive coordinator still came very much as a surprise. Back to you, Andrew.
All right, Steve, that's good stuff. Again, the Cover 2 podcast on NFL.com. DeSean Jackson, game day morning coming up on Sunday with Michael Irvin. Kara?
All right, so let's take the bigger picture, shall we, Steve and Charles, of this Eagles team. They are 3-6, and only 3% of teams that have started off exactly 3-6 have made the playoffs. So can they dig themselves out of this hole, Charles?
I don't think so, Karen. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I was on record as saying that they might be the most dangerous team for Green Bay in the playoffs. So I don't want to delve into revisionist history, because I sat right here in this chair and said, look out for these Eagles after they beat the Cowboys. But since then, they've lost 2 games. And when you look at their schedule down the stretch, for them to get to 10-6, and I said this consistently all during this year, that 9-7 might possibly win the NFC East. So to get to 10-6 and actually win that division, if my projections are correct, they have to sweep every game here from here on out. To go 9-7, they can only lose one time. They're not bringing me in again, all right? It's not happening. They could beat the Giants and everyone to jump up and down again. Not this time for me, Steve Mariucci. I'm saying the Eagles have no shot at getting there this year.
Yeah, Charles, I said the same thing, you know, back a couple of weeks ago or even last week, that the Eagles are the dangerous team and they're probably going to win that division, and they have the most skill on offense to score points with the Packers. And boy, there's something missing, something wrong, out of whack over there. And Andy Reid's done such a great job with his coaching staff. He's been to the playoffs 9 times. And then all of a sudden, they're just not playing like they're capable of playing. And you kind of wonder if this DeSean Jackson benching has something to do with something else. And it's a shame that he's in a contract year and it's not happening for him. And he's disgruntled and they're not winning. And there doesn't seem to be any harmony over there. The defense is not the same with Juan. And Juan's a good football coach. Michael Vick's not the same as he was a year ago. And now he's hurt. Now he's got a couple of ribs. So can they get back in it? I think they have to win every game. Win out and hope that the Giants and the Cowboys stumble a little bit in order to make the playoffs. Otherwise, forget about it. So we're going to find out what kind of coaches and players and the character that they have to regroup, win some of these tough games. And of course, let's start off playing the Giants this week, and then we'll find out a little bit more about them.
Welcome back. Dave Spitter with you here. On PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Thanks to Merrill. Thanks to the NFL Network for that. In a moment, we want to get you the DeSean Jackson video from the NFL Network interview that he did, which talks about being made inactive before Andy Reid comes on. First, I want you to do this for us, Eagles fans. I want you to head over to the Eagles official Facebook page to check out the Eagles cam picture from the Bears game and tag yourself. Find the Geico Caveman, and you could win an authentic Eagles jersey. Don't go to the Facebook page. Do this. Make it easy for you. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and then go to, well, you're already there. Go to Eagles Cam. Okay, so it's there. The contest ends November 17th at 12 p.m., which is just a couple of days away here, which is actually one day away here. It ends tomorrow. So remember, go to the Eagles page here, the Eagles Cam page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Tag yourself at the game. Find the caveman in the crowd, and you could be entered for a chance to win an authentic Eagles jersey. It's very, very cool technology, and our good friends at Geico want you to find their caveman, which I always think is one of the funniest commercials there is out there. I like the caveman theme. In a few moments, Andy Reid's press conference will be here, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, let's play the DeSean Jackson video interview with NFL Network. Talked about his benching on Sunday. This is sure to be a topic of Andy Reid's press conference. So just to give you a reference point here, this is what DeSean Jackson had to say.
You missed the 8:30 special team meeting.
Yeah.
You got there 20 minutes. Yeah, they're like about 8, late.
8:53 made it to the 9 o'clock meeting. And like I said, as a man, I was late.
There is speculation and things have been reported that the decision not to play you was because of other things mm-hmm. that have been happening. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think so. Being late to a meeting is, you know, unacceptable, of course, but I understand that, but never been a problem, you know, never been a distraction. I just, you know, come to work and do my thing.
You wanted to play?
Of course, I want to play every game.
You missed the team special team meeting, but you got there for a team meeting. You're 20 minutes late, 25 minutes late. Is this protocol to not let the guy play at all?
Well, I mean, honestly, I never seen Coach Reid do anything like that. Like, I never seen him bench anybody for, like, missing a meeting.
All right, so that is DeSean Jackson with Michael Irvin, NFL Network, and it is DeSean Jackson's contention in that conversation. He was 20 minutes late to a meeting. Of course, the suspension, the inactivation was because he missed a meeting. So whether the meeting was fewer than 20 minutes or however you want to interpret that. But Andy Reid will be asked that question. I would guess that Andy won't go into it very much. But just so you have a frame of reference there. Let's go to the telephones here. 215-339-6709. Let's go to Carl. Hey, Carl.
Dave, I'll tell you what. This weather outside fits the mood this week.
Yes, it does.
Which is rainy and cold.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. I believe in Andy Reid. I think he can turn this around, but the players have to believe in themselves. I saw a team on Sunday playing not to lose rather than playing to win.
I saw a team that just wasn't inspired or playing with any urgency or any... any real, I guess, maybe fear is a bad word, but any concern for losing? They just didn't think there was any way the Cardinals were going to beat them. Let me tell you this. I talked to Brian Baldinger yesterday, and, you know, he has gone on the radio or TV or whatever, all the various media that he does, and he absolutely destroyed Asante Samuel for that last throw to Larry Fitzgerald, the one that took the ball to the one-yard line. It is his contention that Asante simply stopped running at about the 25-yard line and left Jaquan Jarrett alone with Larry Fitzgerald. Now, if that's the case, that's unbelievable, and that's inexcusable.
And it was such a step back from what we saw with Dallas or Washington and Dallas, and that's why I think they came in maybe believing a little too much of the media hype.
There's no doubt. I think that's been the case the whole year.
I think if we're going to beat the Giants, somebody has got to come out, just like we had in that Washington game. Somebody comes out early and sets the tone.
I would love to see that. You're referring to the Nnamdi Asamoah hit on Chris Cooley to set the tone. Agreed with you there. I thought the level of emotion was great in that Washington game. The Eagles certainly understood the importance of the game. This game is the elimination game, is it not? I mean, this is the game where they lose, it's done. I mean, there's still a glimmer of hope here now that you can somehow possibly win seven games, get some help, and who knows, get to 10 wins. But nine wins won't do it. So, yeah, I mean, as inexcusable as losing to the Giants the first time, losing to the Niners, losing to the the Bears, who are a good team, but still at home, and then, of course, losing to the Cardinals, you know, this is the game here. You don't play with everything you got, you're going to get booed right out of the Meadowlands. Booed, mocked, jeered. Those Giants fans can't wait to get back at the Eagles after last year's game.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a whole thing to rub the Eagles' face in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so let's play a great football game.
Be a great football game.
Yeah. Give me a prediction for the game, Carl.
We'll get this thing turned around. I think they've hit the low point. And they've got, as they say, we got nothing more to lose. Let's just go out and play and have fun.
I'm with you on that. And now, we still don't know the quarterback situation. Merrill thinks it'll be Michael Vick. I think it'll be Vince Young. Who do you think plays quarterback, and what do you think about the game?
I tell you what, on the quarterback, if Vince Young has a full week of practice, I think he can do it. What's scaring me are the receivers. Steve Smith not running it out. All he had to do was turn upfield and fall. He would have gotten that first down. I saw a lot of alligator arms. I saw guys just the fire wasn't there. And if we don't have the fire in the receivers, then the play action isn't effective because everybody's going to know they're going to go to Shady.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got to get their attitude back, that little bit of a swagger, and you start with one play at a time to one quarter at a time to one game at a time.
I'm with you on that. Today's an important day of practice. I hope Andy Reid makes it a hard one for them, to be honest with you. I think this team needs to suffer a little bit. These players need to suffer a little bit. These players need to fear for their jobs, their paychecks a little
bit.
Playing
DRC with a high ankle sprain. Is it DRC or is it
Dominique Rogers Cromartie has a high ankle sprain. I would be surprised if he plays.
Franklin with the shoulder and the hamstring.
Yep.
You know, this is going to bring Avant into it much more, who I admire the hell out of, Cooper and Smith. And I tell you what, Smith ought to be embarrassed the way he played last week.
I thought he was terrible. Dropping passes, falling short of the first down. I thought he was very, very poor. Very poor. So give me a prediction, Carl.
I'm going to really go out. Eagles 24. Giants 17.
Carl, we thank you. Have a good day, man. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. It's Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. Many thanks, of course, to Merrill Reese for joining us. We do want to get your reaction with Deshaun. I mean, this is I wrote this last night. Where do you go with one of the many, 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 many difficult decisions here as you retool the roster? As you kind of got to look ahead a little bit here, not the coaches, not the players, but the organization. What do you do with Deshaun, among the many other questions you have about this football team? Joe in Miami joins us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Joe, it's not really very good, Joe. I mean, I'm really kind of I'm a little bumming, but getting better. Looking forward to the Giants game now.
Yeah, I was listening to the show yesterday, and It made me feel better to know I wasn't the only Eagles fan that doesn't watch. I don't watch anything that has to do with, you know.
I don't watch. It sucks because, you know, there's good football out there. I love the game, but I'm sitting here miserable and I don't want to watch football.
I watched it at work, and when I got home around 4 o'clock, I didn't watch the 4 o'clock, the Sunday night or the Monday night game. Huh. You know, I was just done with it. So
yeah. It's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible, terrible feeling.
Yeah, but it feels better to actually hear somebody say how we're feeling.
Well, if I can make you feel better, Joe, that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah. As far as the Deshaun Jackson situation and everything, I think the front office kind of fumbled the ball in regards to that. You know, like people say, you know, you have to know your players, you have to know, you know, you have to treat everybody differently. Nobody's above the team, but you have to understand people's psyche. Mm-hmm. And I think not getting something done with him early on to get that out of the way, you know, just so it wasn't a distraction later on. He's a young player, you know, he's still learning everything. I think that caused, you know, our brass has been,
you know, steadfast with we're going to do things our way on our time. And I think those, you know, sometimes you have to understand that you can't do everything a certain way. You have
Let's talk about that, Joe, because I think if you look at the history here, you would agree, maybe, that the Eagles sign a lot, maybe more than any other team in the league that I know, players' second and third contracts. Would you agree with that?
A good job of extending contracts of young players. I think we're one of the best in the league at doing that.
So with Deshaun, okay, difficult negotiation, takes two to tango. All right, I don't know where the Eagles were in the talks, where Deshaun was in the talks, but if you're the Eagles and you say, well, this kid, you know, there are things about him that concern us. There's a value that we have here for him, and we think it's a very good value. We acknowledge that he's a really good player, et cetera.
I understand.
And then what if Deshaun's people come in and say, well, we want to be paid like Larry Fitzgerald? How do you do that deal?
I know who his agent is, so we understand that it's very, very possible that he went in there with unimaginable contract offer that he feels his client is worth. But, you know, I'm sure they could have come to something, you know, like at least to get that part out of the way, you know what I mean? So we were able to go into the season at least with all those pieces in place and happy because, you know, wide receivers, they're a funny bunch. You know, their psyches are very fragile. And, you know, if we expect Deshaun Jackson to be who we think he is, you know, then I think that we should have gone in and at least try to work something out in regards to that. If not, then, you know, plan to go on without him. But, you know, to play the middle, you know, as if, okay, we're going to do this, but we're not really sure and everything like that. Those guys are a lot smarter. And they know how to work contracts to where if somebody doesn't play out the way they expect them to play out, then they go ahead and they move on with them. So you put them front money, you know, on the front end of the contract, and then if he hadn't worked out, whether it's whatever, then you cut your losses. But, you know,
you can't just cut. You're not talking – it's not a $5 million thing. It's a $15 million thing. It's a huge, gigantic commitment. It's not a decision to be made lightly. And I understand what you're saying because I think we talked about it so much in the offseason. Get a deal done. Let's make this thing perfect. Let's go. Okay, so it didn't get done. There's no excuse for Deshaun missing a meeting at all. He's a professional football player.
And I agree about that. I do think...
And if it's just one meeting, okay, you're there every single day and you're... If it's just one time... Perfect attendance, no concerns about behavior, nothing, no worries about the guy. Hey, you know, maybe you treat that a little differently. I don't know. Or maybe you hope the player calls in but it sounds to me like there's been, you know, there's been some issues here. Been some issues here. I don't think it's, I love Deshaun. I want him to be here. I just want him to be careful with what he's doing. There's too many stories out there that you may not hear about what he's doing, whether they're true or not, I don't know. There's smoke, there's fire. I just want Deshaun to make football a huge priority in his life, the priority in his life. It's a darn good talent.
I agree. I felt that with the suspension, I don't think anybody is above the team. You know, and for me, you know, I've been an Eagles fan, you know, my whole life now, and to see players go and some things like that, but you know, I'm an Eagles fan. I root for the team, not the, you know, the players, you know, individually. You know, I think like one of the guys mentioned it. You know, you have to have like all hands on deck. I would have preferred, or you know, if you want him up the first quarter or something like that, but to suspend him in this must-win situation, and the defense of the Cardinals, it made a lot better for them because they were able to, they didn't have to worry about the deep threat, which is true. And then Maclin goes down, so then now you're playing with third and fourth and fifth wide receivers who aren't
going to stretch the field on you. And I think, you know, that our offense is based off of using the whole field, you know, every inch of the field. And when you take a week,
yeah,
kill anybody.
Yeah, without him, you saw certainly the Eagles weren't able to stretch the defense at all on Sunday. And without Macklin, it was very difficult with Smith, Avant, and Cooper. Joe, give me a prediction for Sunday.
Okay, I'm going to go, fingers crossed, I'm going to go 24, Giants 16.
24-16?
Yes, sir.
Joe, thanks. Good phone call.
Thank you, man.
All right, that's Joe in Miami. We're waiting for Andy Reid now, and we're pondering the many questions about this football team at 3-6. And there are many questions. I guess the first and foremost, as you look at the game on Sunday night, who's the quarterback? Is it going to be Michael Vick, who suffered two broken ribs in Sunday's loss to the Cardinals, or is it going to be Vince Young, or will the Eagles opt for Mike Kafka? Steve in Alabama joins us. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Yeah, hanging, my man.
I feel the same way, man. It's raining where I'm at. It's just terrible, man. Terrible. But
there will be brighter days ahead. We've had plenty in the past. There will be many, many in the future.
Yeah, I just hope we go beat the Giants. I mean, I'm not really. We 3-6. I heard. I'm hearing that we, like, mathematically, we may still be able to make the playoffs. But it's a long shot, but I'm not worried about it. I just need the team to just go out and win. Forget about all everything else. Just go out, get together, and rally for a win.
Yep. So give me a prediction.
Prediction? We're going to go Eagles 27, Giants 21.
You know, one thing I want to see, Steve, you mentioned – rally as a team. I would love to see this group rally as a team. Hasn't it been frustrating not seeing that part of it with the Eagles? Not seeing the rally as a team part?
They can. They just haven't.
You know, the team. The okay, you threw the interception, but we're going to go out there and make this stop. The okay, you gave up a touchdown, but we're going to go out there and take the football and put points on the board and get the lead back. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
It hurts. It just seems like when a team starts scoring or if they get above us, like, it just seems like we have no chance. Like, they're just not coming through. I don't know. I don't understand, but we'll see.
Yeah.
What's done
is it is true. As soon as the Eagles lose the lead, it seems, in games, they just don't respond. You know, they just don't respond. Now, they did last week. The Cardinals came back, tied the game 14-all, and then the Eagles had an interception, scored a field goal, and had a three-point lead, and then you know what happened.
Man, I agree with some of the things the last caller was talking about. That DeSean Jackson, this whole thing is, it's kind of bothering me because I feel it is. I mean, maybe something else going on, but I feel a big part is that contract. And I think that's been hindering him from playing. And I'm not saying that we probably should have signed him early, but either way, this is the last year of his contract. You have to go produce. You know what I'm saying? You have to go play ball to show why you need that contract, why you're worth this money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He hasn't been. He is, I mean, he's an awesome, explosive player. But he has dropped so many passes in the end zone. He has dropped so many passes, Dave. And when you look at it, great receivers don't do that. Did you see Larry Fitzgerald yesterday? I mean, Sunday. Passes that was getting tipped, he's catching them. And he's an awesome receiver. I mean, that's a stretch. But I'm just saying, like, if you want to get paid, you got to go produce, buddy. That's what it is in this league. So,
I'm with you. I'm with you, Steve. Thanks so much, Steve.
We 3-6, and the one that's producing the most is Shady McCoy. And in my opinion, that's the one that may be gearing to get the next big contract.
Well, he's a terrific. Thanks for the call. He's a good Shady. He's a great young player and has really been one of the guys who's brought it every play of, that he's been on the field. Made some mistakes, but efforts there, dedication's there. He runs hard. He takes hits. He's a man, and he's a heck of a football player. Probably the best player on the team right now, all around. Number 25 right there. Shannon in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Shannon.
Dave, what's going on, brother?
Mm-hmm. Bouncing back.
Faith, keep the faith. Dave, couple of things, man. I know people, this is one game at a time, man. People need to realize that we are 2-1 in our division. If we forget about what the Giants are doing, we just need to focus on, forget about who's the easy game. Just play every game because everybody in that division
Shannon,
has to play each other.
Shannon, the fans don't play the games. We know that. Players play the games.
Each other in the division at least once, and I think the Giants have to play Cowboys twice.
I think so, yeah.
Dave, off the break, I'm going to tell you this. Michael Vick, if he could do it, he needs to play. I'm sorry. He has to play. He has to play on Sunday because of the money that we're paying him and because he's the leader. He has to be able to show them, listen, I have two broken ribs, but just like Romo did it and Brady did it, I'm going to do it. If you could do it the last three quarters, we need him in the game. I do not want to see Vince Young playing on Sunday night when our season is on the line.
All right, here's Andy Reid. Quick prediction, quickly.
24-17.
All right, here's Andy Reid.
All right, those players that will not practice today will be King Dunlap with a concussion. He is making progress. Jeremy Maclin with a shoulder sprain and the hamstring strain. Again, he's making progress. The shoulder's probably a little bit worse than the hamstring. Dominique Rogers-Cromartie with a high ankle sprain, and then Michael with the broken ribs will not practice today. Nate Allen and Evan Mathis will at the quarterback spot. Both Mike and Vince will Kafka and Vince will be out there working, and we'll just see how the week goes. Michael has an opportunity to play. Vic, then Michael will play, and then we go from there. Time's yours.
How is he compared to Monday, Mike?
He's still sore. Yeah. These next few days will tell. So we'll see, but he is sore today. We'll see how practice goes. You know, this week. Yeah.
You put Vince in when Mike came out. So I mean, is he naturally the? If there's a pecking order right now, he's the top backup.
Yeah. Well, we'll just see. We'll see how it all works out. Yeah.
In the past, that you would lean against giving two guys reps with the ones just because a guy needs all the reps he can get to be ready for a game. So, I mean, is it going to be a 50-50 mix there with the two of them?
Not sure yet. Sorry. Not sure yet.
Sean McCoy said on the radio that the injury didn't happen on the second play. It happened later in the game. How did you guys know it happened on that play? Just because Mike told you it did? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike told us. After the game.
That it he knew he broke him.
Well, I don't know if he knew. He doesn't have x-ray vision. I mean, yeah. So he was sore, I guess. He just didn't, I'm not sure anybody knew. You know, he didn't tell anybody, so he just played.
And the thing that happened later was just compounded the broken ribs?
Well, when I walked out, he was down. He told me that he had the wind knocked out of him. So that's what he said. And he didn't say anything about ribs or anything else. He just said his... He had the wind knocked out of him. When he was out there, it sounded like he had the wind knocked out of him.
That could have been the one that broke the ribs, though, right?
Yeah, whatever you want to write, you write. I'm just trying to tell you. I mean, I'm just trying to – well, I've told you, the second play of the game. I mean, what more do you want to do? You want to, this isn't the game of Clue. You know, I'm telling you, the second play of the game.
Hesitation to sort of give Vince Young all the reps with the ones. It sounds like the position's up for grabs.
Yeah, we'll see. No, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, we'll just see how the week goes. You know, I'll let you know later in the week what we're going to do. Yeah, you know, see how Michael does.
Has Vince played poorly enough? No. Or not?
Vince has done everything he's been asked to do. Vince has done everything he's been asked to do. I just don't, you know, that's not where I'm at right now, you know, as far as naming somebody right now. You know, Michael's going to keep working to, you know, go.
A rib injury, is it comparable at all to the one that he sustained against Washington last year? Is it more or less manageable than that situation?
I don't know. I think the next few days will tell. You know, I will have a better idea as things go on. You know, we're not going to put him at a risk out there. That's not what we do. So, but we'll just see how the next few days go.
Big able to do right now? Is he able to do any exercising whatsoever? Do you have completely shut down?
Yeah, we just have him resting.
Sean Jackson said yesterday to Michael Irvin that he doesn't recall whoever benching a player that had missed the practice.
Yeah, I'm not even going there. I'm going to keep my side of it with the player, and that's how I operate.
But on Monday, though, you felt there was a good understanding between you and you guys were moving forward. Are you concerned that this is an example of not moving forward for him?
No.
You, he's focused on football.
You know what I'm moving forward on to is the Giants. That's a pretty important game. So they're good against a good football team.
Where you guys are sitting right now at 3-6, do you worry at all with the possibility of guys at all?
You
the record.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm concerned right now about getting ready to play the Giants, and that's it. All the other stuff is you guys can work with, and my job is to get our football team ready to play the Giants. That's what I'm going to do.
Do you worry about losing the focus of the players even this week to face the Giants?
No.
You've talked in the past with broken ribs about, I think the word you use is sticky, get the ribs sticky there. And until that process starts, you can't even consider playing a guy. Has that process begun with Mike?
Yeah, they're all a little bit different and in different places. So at times a player will feel the rubbing going on with the ribs. Michael doesn't have that right now. So we just see. We take it day by day, and we'll see, see how it all works out.
Your future has become a hot topic in the city. Are you concerned about your job security?
I'm concerned about getting ready to play the New York Giants.
How would you characterize your team's chances of making the playoffs at this point?
Not even thinking about the play. I'm thinking about playing the New York Giants.
What's the process, though? Do you feel like you're going to have to run the table to make a playoff?
I'm concerned about playing the New York Giants. That's it.
How would you describe Vince's, his grasp of the offense? He hasn't played a whole lot. Even Kaepernick
He's done a great job with that. He really has. He's worked hard to know the offense. Both those two have done a great job with it. So, but Vince being the newer of the two, I think he's done a heck of a job of learning it.
With your quarterback situation the way it is, then do you have to prepare two different game plans or be ready to alter one or the other on a moment's notice? And how hard is that?
Yeah, we can run the same game plan. Yeah.
How much of a head coach's job is managing egos and personalities? And has that been as big of a challenge this year as in all of your other 12?
Well, part of your job, part of my job is to do that, to manage the football team. And every year, I've told you, is different. And this is no more different than other years as far as challenges go. It's not more challenging or less challenging.
What do you say to the players, some of the guys after Sunday's loss? Brent Celek said he was embarrassed, but other guys said they can't figure out how we have this much talent and we're not winning. What do you say to your players this week to get them ready for the Giants and try to move past where you guys are?
Focus in on the Giants. Study the game plan and practice hard. Aggressive. Get ready for the New York Giants.
Andy, having already played the Giants once this year, what are some things you can do a better job doing to get them prepared for this year? get a victory?
Well, we're playing the Giants, so I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do different than the last game. So, and obviously they have a good football team and did a nice job against us the last game. So, but there are some things that we can do different. I'm obviously not going to talk about those.
What's the benefit of repping two guys as opposed to just one? And I mean, I would think since these guys haven't gotten any, the receivers, the backs, tight ends haven't gotten any reps with the with either one of them, as first team guys.
We'll see how all that goes. I mean, I haven't actually put down who's going to get what on the reps. We'll just I'll talk to the guys about it when we go out to practice here.
In the fourth quarter of Sunday's game, there was a delay in you calling whether you're going to kick the field goal or not. It looked like you were going to kick it right away, but the clock almost went down to one. But Vince was still out in the field. Did he not know what down it was? I mean, what was the confusion there?
No, that was between Bobby and I. I didn't do a good enough job of communicating it to Bobby, so he held the guys. And Vince has to stay out there when the team's held, so I've got to do a better job. That was my fault there.
The play that Vince ran, it looked like he wasn't quite sure whether he was supposed to be in shotgun or not.
Yeah, that play you can do from either gun or from under. And so you know, he chose to go from the gun there.
Andy, when you look at the Giants, is this the most consistent you've ever seen Eli play at a high level?
Eli's playing very good football right now. I mean, he's played good football in the past. He's a Pro Bowl player, so. But he's doing very well right now, making great throws.
You get Nate back.
I assume he's going to start, and if so, who's the other safety going to be?
Coleman's the other safety, yeah. And Nate will be the starter, yeah.
Steve Smith play, and will he replace Jeremy?
Yeah, I think. Listen, Steve is continuing to make progress, and that's the important thing. He's coming off a very serious injury. He's working like crazy to get himself back. I have no complaints with Steve Smith.
Will
he replace Jeremy? Well, Riley's really he plays that position. And then Steven plays the Z position.
Andy, what happens during the course of a game where LeSean McCoy doesn't get as many touches as perhaps he ought to late in the game or at some point in the game?
I get asked a lot of questions like that, is what happens. You know, we're going to do what we think is best to win the game, and that's how we're going to go about it.
Best to go with other players, though. Why was it best not to give the ball to Shady there?
Oh, that was just a choice we made. Yeah.
All right, so you get the idea that head coach Andy Reid is focusing on the New York Giants. And quite honestly, people, I'm going to back him on this. I like that kind of approach. I like his press conference today. I like a coach who is pissed. And I hope his players are too. And I hope his players are focused in on this game. I like that. I like that approach. All right, let's get you caught up on the headlines because there's a lot to get caught up on. Was there a single DeSean Jackson question? I don't think so. All right, here's the list of players who will not practice today. Michael Vick with ribs, King Dunlap concussion, Jeremy Maclin shoulder injury, and the AC joint, shoulder and hamstring. Also, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie will not practice with a high ankle sprain. Evan Mathis, Nate Allen will practice today. So Nate Allen starts with Kurt Coleman at safety. Evan Mathis starts back at left guard. It's good news. The quarterback situation, you know, we're not sure. Vic has not been counted out yet, according to Andy Reid, for Sunday night. If he can play, he'll play. Meanwhile, in practice today, both Mike Kafka and Vince Young will see some reps with the ones. Oh, so much to think about and digest here. Tune into Eagles Nightly tonight at 7 o'clock and get the very latest. Matt in Toronto joins us. Hello, Matthew.
How's it going, Dave?
Matthew, I'm focusing. I just want to focus on beat the Giants.
Just wanted to say, everybody, have faith in Andy. You know, being up good in Canada, the pass offense is all we run up here. You know, see a lot of it when it does work. It
You put up tremendous amounts of points. The other backfire is when you go down to second and one, you should be not running shotgun. But let's have faith in Andy and go Eagles. And have a good day, Dave.
Hey, get, whoa. He's gone. He's out. Thanks for the positive words, Matt. Eagles have done an okay job running the football this year, guys. I'm not going to... The run game has not been the issue. It's been the passing game. And when the passing game doesn't work, you see what happens in the NFL. You don't score as many points. You have to have a good passing game in the NFL to make it all work. Zompster in New York. Maybe he's rebounded. Hi, Zomper.
What's up, Spadaro? How's everything? Terrible.
Yeah, it's getting better, but I mean, I'd rather you didn't ask me how everything is after a loss.
Dave, I can't hear you at all, man.
I'd rather you not ask me how things are going after a loss.
I know, but...
I know you just care. You just care.
Hello?
You just have love for me, right?
That's it, man. You know how it is.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to argue today, man.
Go ahead.
No. I don't want to fight with you. I just want to say I agree with what you said about Andy Reid, because there was a lot of things on ESPN this morning, on ESPN First Take, Hugh Douglas, Stephen A. Smith, and all of them. They were talking about DeSean Jackson and how Andy Reid handled it. I agree 125,000% that Andy Reid had to take disciplinary actions. I just think that there was a better way to do it, because by benching him, okay, he's heavily in the game plan, correct, DeSean Jackson? 3-4 hours in between, you got to have Steve Smith, you got to have Riley Cooper, Jason Amott, you got to have all these guys step up now. Why not just fine him and have him play so it doesn't hurt the team? I believe there's disciplinary actions. Should have been, and he did right. I just think it was the wrong set of punishment.
Well, I'm not sure. One thing that's interesting, I'm not sure under the labor agreement that you can fine a guy any reasonable amount. I think there's a cap on fines.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know that. See, that's why I call you, David. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I feel that by taking him out of the game, taking him out of the game plan, I believe, and you're going to say, Zomp, I don't know about that. I just believe that Vic has been out of funk for the last 2 weeks, but I don't think it would have made a difference whether he broke his ribs or not. I think that's what would have happened on Sunday. And this thing with Vic, I'm going on the Vic situation now. I don't know. I haven't heard anything. What's the story so far?
Well, the story so far, Zompster, is that he will not practice today, and he will. But he's not been ruled out for Sunday's game. If he can go, he will go.
Okay. So as regarding that, I'm just saying, Tony Romo, you know where I'm going with this, broke his ribs. You could see he was in agonizing pain. It affected him. Every throw, everything affected him, and he played. Now, we're in desperate situations here, and I know Vince Young is our backup. You got to have faith in him. I don't at all. I don't have faith in Mike Kafka at this point right now to go into Giants Stadium over there, the Meadowlands, MetLife, wherever you want to call it, and go out there and beat the best pass rush defense out there. I don't. Vic gives us the best situation to win. Now, Tony Romo, you could see every throw he made, every time he walked, he was just in agonizing pain. Vic gave me no indication, and you said it, and I think C-Mac said it, that it was the second play of the game he got hurt. He gave me no indication that he was hurt. I just thought he was out of funk. Now, for that said, he was running like Vic. He was throwing the ball 50, 60 yards like Vic, whether it was intercepted or not. He gave me no indication that this man was hurt. So he has to go, and Andy Reid, I mean, if we're quitting on the season, then you start Vince Young, you start Mike Kafka, do whatever you got to do. But I don't see how you could start Vince Young, put him in the fire like that against the Giants and try to win this game, especially with the situation with DeSean. It's going to be a fiasco if that's the case, in my opinion.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the report out there is that Chad Hall will be moved up to the active roster and Jarrad Page will be released. That nothing official there yet, though.
Ah, man. It's a tough week, Dave, man. It's a tough week, and I don't know, man. I just feel like I appreciate you giving me a lot of time to speak.
Yeah, man. Listen, I know how Eagles fans feel. I am here for you. We are all going to get through this thing together. It is very difficult. It's official now? Okay. Chad Hall moves up to the active roster. Jarrad Page is done. So disappointing nine-game career for Jarrad Page as an Eagle, which is interesting. It's interesting if you only knew. Jesus. Wow, Jarrad Page is a fool. Eagles, yeah. So, Jarrad, I'm glad to see Chad Hall back up here, though. Yeah, Chad, Zomp, we're going to get through it all together here. It's a tough time, so.
No, I know, man. I know. I'm not the type of person, like, even though as bad as it is, just to lay down and people say, oh, get draft picks, get this, get Reed out of here. It's just, to me, I want to fight, keep on fighting, see what happens, because you never know, man. The Giants still got a tough schedule. Dallas is coming up, but you never know if we could pull out a win. You never know until it's over.
Yep.
I don't know. I got no words to express about it. Like I said, I appreciate you giving me time to speak.
Anytime.
I just feel like the whole Deshaun Jackson thing and what Andy Reid could have done and all this, it's like it feels like we're just falling apart. And at the end, I think us, the fans, I think, you know, especially you, guys like us, we're going to end up suffering the most, I think, in the end.
Yeah, I feel a great sense of pain, I'll be honest with you. Great sense of pain. Give me a prediction for Sunday night.
All right. It's a lie, Dave, but I'll just give you one because I'll never give the Giants. I'll never say the Giants are going to win, but I'll say 28-24 Birds.
Just say it, Junior. You going to go, Zomp?
Come on, man. I'm going next week. I'm proposing to Mrs. Zomp next week, man.
At Lincoln Financial Field?
I'm doing it on top of the Rocky Steps, man.
Are you really? Can you film it and we can play it on? I think Eagles fans would like to see the Zompster propose to his lady.
I'm going to see if I can do it. I want you to get the hookup and put on Lincoln Financial. Zomp!
We'll be happy to do it. You just got to shoot it. We'll send out a whole,
shoot? Oh, yeah, I'll do it. No problem.
We'll send out a whole film crew for that one.
I hope. Yes, man.
I mean,
otherwise, I'm screwed.
She's got some really bad sense of judgment, does she not?
Spadaro, man, it's always
right.
Good to talk to
all
you,
right,
my brother.
Zomp. Take care, man. Love you. Good luck. Hope she doesn't say no. Let's take a little break here. When we come back, more from you, more from the locker room. Andy Reid is not messing around now. Jared Page done. And he deserves to be done. Thanks for joining us here, and we'll be back on the other side.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking, he's being chased, he gets out of the way. He runs, he pumps, he fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Getting ready to bring in the Todd father, Todd Harriman's the offensive tackle. Now, Todd, what's going on, man? We see you here on Team Cam. Nice mustache, by the way.
Oh, you see that, right?
that looks pretty good, man.
Well, it's something I'm trying to do for, you know, I'm raising a little money for prostate cancer.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us about that before we get going?
Well, it's this thing that, you know, got started, you know, quite some time ago over in Australia, where the whole month of November, you know, October is for breast cancer, so They try to do something for men for November, and you know, you just grow a mustache, and there's a website you can go to, Movember.com, and look for me in the you know, all the benefits go to prostate cancer, so you can just type my name in the member search, and then, you know, donate to this beautiful, beautiful stash I got going on.
Todd, Bucky and I, for weeks, have been telling our listeners and anybody who wants to pay attention that you are one of the more underrated players in the NFL. We've seen you change positions, two or three times this season and really handle your business. What about you having to be forced into that action and being able to handle what you've had to do?
You know, I don't really think it's a thing of being forced to do it. You know, you get into situations throughout the season where, you know, you just need to fix something, or, you know, some guys that are more flexible in their positions than others that we have. So, you know, I'm just willing to, you know, I got drafted as a tackle, and Coach Reed said something to move me to guard, and I said, hey, I just want to be on the field. And, you know, I've kind of kept that whole attitude the entire year. And as far as underrated goes, I'd rather be underrated than overrated, you know.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Hey, look, Ty, let's talk about, you have a new offensive line coach coming in, and Howard Mudd. This is a guy who has been known to get all kinds of production out of guys who are underrated, unheralded. Talk about the change in having this guy in the front of your room as opposed to Juan Castillo, who has moved over to defense.
Oh, man. You know, Howard's cool. He's definitely different from Juan, different style of coach. I think, you know, he's more of a veteran coach, but we got some young guys that he's really taken a liking to, and just the techniques that he teaches and the scheme and, you know, the way about going and doing things is where Juan would sit in the film room and, you know, you would watch film every minute that they let him have us in the room, you know, and Howard will get in there and we'll get done what we need to get done, and, you know, if we got 20 minutes left, we'll break the meeting. You know, he's you know, he knows his job. He knows that we're taking care of our job. So, you know, it's just definitely different from Juan, though.
You're talking about Juan Castillo. He is, I guess, public target number one there in the city of brotherly love. You played for him. You talked a little bit about his coaching style. First off, were you surprised when they moved him over to the defensive side? And what about the way that he's handled some of the criticism and everything that's come his way?
You know what? When he first got the move over there, I was shocked, but it wasn't to a point where I didn't understand it. You know, I was like, oh, really? I'm like, all right. You know, I could see that. Because Juan is just such a teacher. And, you know, one thing about people don't know about him is they just kind of look at him and, he's an offensive line coach that they're trying to turn into a D coordinator on the other side of the ball. But Juan is just, you know, he's one of the hardest workers that you're going to find out of anybody. And, you know, I know hard work goes a long ways in this game, and, you know, the man hours and everything that he puts in, you know, he's always been defensive minded. He was a linebacker in college, and, you know, he played in the USFL for the San Antonio Gunslingers or something like that.
They wore mustaches. Linebacker. They wore mustaches like that back then, too.
You know it. They definitely wore stashes back then. But, you know, I think with the way that the season's panned out, you know, Juan's an easy target for people to look at, but, you know, the offense is definitely not doing what we've needed to do this year either. So everybody has a hand in the way that this season has ended up.
Let's talk about the locker room. You had so many guys come in, an assembly of talent, so-called dream team. What is that locker room like now? You're sitting at 3-6. What's the resolve that you see from your teammates in terms of getting this thing turned around?
Well, I mean, the thing about going through something like this where, you know, we got 6 losses. That's one of the worst seasons I've been a part of since I've been here. And but when you go through something like this, you realize that you really don't have anybody else to get your back other than the people in the locker room. And it kind of draws the team together a little closer. You know, and that's kind of what we're looking at right now is, you know, it's just us against the world. And, you know, we do have a chance, and that's all we're holding on to. And, you know, nobody has to believe that we can go ahead and run the table except ourselves. And, you know, as long as we can make it, you know, we take it one game at a time. And, you know, our locker room is coming together a lot closer than it was in the beginning of the year, mostly just because we had a bunch of new faces in there. But now, you know, you bring the new faces in, you're going through some scrutiny and everything like that, and we just got to, you know, bond together and pull together as a team to finish these games out.
There you go, the good days. They were good days. Wasn't that long ago, was it? They will return. And hopefully Sunday, Eagles will be feeling real good about themselves after they play the New York football Giants. We'll get some reaction from the Giants. They've got some injury issues of their own, particularly on the defensive side of the linebacker position. They've got some concerns. So, but so do the Eagles. So we're Wednesday. It's kind of the middle of the week, and not sure who's going to play. Corey in Virginia joins us. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Dave. What's going on today, man?
Well, you know, we got some injuries. We got a roster move. Jarrad Page out. Chad Hall up. And the Giants are next.
Yeah, Dave, I'm obviously we're all a little disappointed, man. You know, just being a diehard fan. I'm just hoping we can try to get on the right track with, you know, against the Giants this week, because I just have a great dislike for the Giants. You know, probably right somewhere up there saying what I feel about the Cowboys.
I agree.
But, you know, now I hear what everybody's saying about, you know, hey, let's get rid of Andy and, you know, this and that about Deshaun. But just a few thoughts, Dave. I'm just curious. You know, I know we, you know, tough loss against the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, people say, hey, you know, should have ran McCoy more, shouldn't have passed as much. And me and my brother had this discussion. Now, we said, hey, Cardinals are terrible against the pass, and they were really trying to stack up the box against the run. But we ran the ball quite well against Dallas, who had, what, like the number one or number two rushing defense in the league. You know, it seemed like a formula that we should have just stuck with a little bit more. You know, I mean, I understand points come out the passing game, but, you know, when the offense is struggling a little bit, you know, just kind of, I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Just sprinkling a little bit more to run in.
I think that, yeah, probably they should have, but also when you have a lead, as the Eagles did against the Cowboys, it's much easier to run the football. So the Eagles never had a lead against the Cardinals of more than 7 points. They ran for 150 yards. I mean, look, if Michael Vick doesn't throw the interception at the end of the third quarter, Eagles go up at least 17-7, right? Maybe you see a fourth quarter filled with running plays. But the fact is the Cardinals then came right down the field and scored the football. Scored the football, tied the game. And the Eagles needed to manufacture some points. And, you know, they didn't have good field position. They were dinking and dunking. I'll give you the 20/20 hindsight here, Corey, and tell you, yeah, they should have run the football more. But the reason they didn't score points is because they did not execute in the passing game.
And we did, man. I don't know, Dave. I mean, with as much explosive players as we have, I mean, you know, I'm on board with you. I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, you know, we're a great team and we're doing the business. You know, frankly, we're not right now.
No.
You know, and for the players to say, hey, the league knows we're a good team. Other teams know we're
it's
a
ridiculous.
Good team. Well, they don't. They don't know that because you're not showing it.
Yeah, I can't stand that mentality. This is not a good – have some humility. I mean, maybe players just feel like they have to say something to – have a brave face, but it's an unrealistic face. It's a 3-6 football team. It's not a good team. And you know what? Any player who thinks he's a good player, well, go out there and do it then. Because this is not, you're not a good player. That kid's a good player. Because he's doing it.
Like I said, Dave, I'm not going to hold up too much of your time. Are you still taking predictions?
Absolutely.
All right. It's tough and I'm gonna say it's a low scoring game. I'm gonna give it about a 20-17 game, Eagles.
You are asking a lot of the Eagles defense. Let's see how they do. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Dave.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Juan comes out with defensively. The Giants have not run the football well to this point. Eli's had a very good season at quarterback. They've got good weapons in Manningham, Hakeem Nicks, who will play. Victor Cruz is shown to be a good receiver. And then Jake Ballard has been really, really productive as a pass-catching tight end. So do the Eagles stack the box? I don't know. Well, one thing they do is they get the left guard Evan Mathis back on the practice field, and barring any setbacks with that foot, it would seem that he would be in line to start at left guard with King Dunlap out. Turf toe kept Mathis out for 1 week. He's back on the practice field today. Let's go in the locker room and talk to Evan Mathis.
Just didn't ask me. Can't tell anything right now. Starting to feel a lot better, but until I actually test it in a live scenario, I can't really gauge it.
So yeah, so you haven't. This will be the first time that you've actually kind of moved on it and done anything really.
Well, I've moved, yeah, but all that, but it doesn't matter unless you got a 300-pound guy pushing against you, you know, when you really have to dig in. So I'll test it today and see how it goes.
Have you, is there anything I can simulate, like, you know, using the tackling dummies or something, how that might, how it might feel planting? And
we had Eugene Chung out there yesterday pushing on me. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's
pretty. So I was doing that a little bit, but it feels good. I mean, I've made a lot of progress over the past week, so I'm looking forward to getting out there today and testing it.
After establishing yourself as a starter, how frustrating was last week for you having to watch?
It's terrible. It's terrible. You know, I live to play this game, and not being able to do it, it gets to me.
Is there a sense of urgency to get you back in there too, because in light of King's concussion?
Well, I mean, if I don't go in there, Jamal goes in there, and Jamal's a good player. So there's a sense of urgency to get back to play, because I want to play. I got
to
play.
Do you have to be 100%?
I need to be 100%. Yeah. I'd be worthless if I wasn't. So. Yeah. Yeah, and it's an easy thing to, if it's not ready, it could get worse. So hopefully it's ready, but we'll see that today.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks. Which,
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee. Only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
And we're back, Dave Spitter with you, and I am hungry. You know what that means, people? It means it's time for me to go to 7-Eleven and go for two in crunch time. Yummy, yummy. Get any two taquitos for $2.29. Go, go, taquitos at 7-Eleven. Oh, they hit the spot. They look so good. I need a couple of go, go taquitos for my belly. My belly rumbling. Chad Hall up on the active roster, been promoted from the practice squad. Jarrett Page released last year. Chad Hall, nice job. Played in 8 games for the Eagles. He had 1 start. He had 11 receptions, 115 yards receiving, 1 touchdown, added 29 rushing yards. So he comes in and he'll add toughness. He'll add some dependability. And he'll catch the football. Javon in New York. How you doing, Javon?
I mean, I'm sorry. We shouldn't be asking that question no more.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You are right. Thank you.
Yeah.
thing to say and then a question.
Okay.
People jumping on getting rid of Andy Reid, I don't believe in that. He has given us 12 years of great football. I think people need to calm down with that. I think we need to...
Almost universal, that's been the sentiment. So that's very interesting.
Let me hear the last part. What you said?
I that's what everybody's been saying. I mean, I find it very encouraging that people are saying that. I agree with you.
I mean, but going to my question is hypotheticals. I do feel that Michael Vick could play, should play. Obviously, I don't know anything, but just by watching his last game and seeing how other people have played, like Tony Romo, like everybody else says, Tony Romo and everybody else has played in the worst situations. I think he could play. Now, my question is, God forbid we lose that game, do we continue playing Vic? Because at that point, I'd see
yes.
the season being over.
Yeah, but I think you still have a lot to prove. You've still got to play. First of all, people are paying money to sit in the stands.
Yeah, but, I mean, even after, if this Giants game doesn't go well, why would you continue playing?
No, because people are still because you still want to put your best product on the field. Now, if Michael is hindered by the injuries, then you don't play him.
I just feel like I don't want to run the risk of getting Michael even hurt furthermore when we have backups that we should be testing out to see if they're going to be here next season.
Well, Vince Young's not going to be here next season. Okay, Vince Young's going to want to go get a starting job somewhere. I mean, you look around the league, there's some pretty lousy starting quarterbacks. Vince Young has a lot of talent, has won a lot of games in the league. He's got a one-year contract here. I would imagine he wants to go somewhere and get a job. Mike Kafka, you know, there's an argument to be made, yeah. You want to see him in a regular season game. But, I mean, look, if Michael Vick can play, Michael Vick plays. He's the quarterback.
And last thing is, I don't see why people making a big thing about the whole Deshaun thing. I mean, not in the perspective that is he causing a ruckus in the locker room, because, yes, that is a big thing. But as in the fact of Deshaun Jackson getting benched, I mean, we cannot say, if Andy Reid wanted to bench him, we cannot say that it was a bad move, because even without Deshaun Jackson, we should have beat the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, say, for whatever reason he decided to bench Deshaun, we can't say that, hey, Andy Reid made a bad move because that's the reason we lost the game. Actually, that makes even more sense than the fact that why we should keep him, because LeSean McCoy didn't have a great rushing game.
Well, but I understand keeping Deshaun, and I love Deshaun a lot, but there's got to be some accountability on his side, too.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean,
you're going to invest $10 million or whatever it is, maybe more in somebody like, you know, who's not been the easiest guy to get along with, okay? Missing that practice is a big deal. Big deal. That's a big deal, missing a practice.
It is. And he got punished, and I think moving on forward, you know, that's something he learned. He's going to see a pay cut because he's not going to get paid for that.
No, he does get paid. No, he gets paid for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was not suspended. He was made inactive.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, yeah, he got punished for it. I mean, that's a problem dealt with. You forget about it, move on. But in the aspect of moving on, we just saw right now how offense could be without Deshaun. And without Deshaun, safeties are playing a lot closer to the line. Yeah, we had 150 yards rushing, but a lot of it came from Vic, too, as well. And our passing game suffered the most. I mean, even if he's not as productive as we want him to be, just his presence alone makes other people better.
I agree with you that Deshaun's presence on the field makes a difference. You are correct. We observed that on Sunday. That's one of the reasons it's a very difficult decision with Deshaun, and a very important decision as far as how the Eagles approach this next, you know, this particular roster question. What do you do with Deshaun Jackson? I think it's really a huge, huge question.
Now, let me ask you this, then. I don't want to go too much time, but...
No problem.
If, idealistically, if you were to sign Deshaun at the money a year, how much will you pay him a year?
I don't know. I don't really know what they make. I know the numbers that I read. Larry Fitzgerald money? No. Miles Austin money? He seems like that kind of comparable receiver. Who's the kid who signed in free agency? Antonio Holmes money? What do you make? $60 million over 5 years or something?
I don't think he's worth 10 at this point.
I don't know. I don't want to do the negotiations, but because I don't know what the numbers that I read are sometimes not the accurate numbers. But I think Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, you know, those are your premier receivers.
Yeah, because then there's my whole thing is that we got so little bit of cap room. We got LeSean McCoy I got to take care of in a couple of years. We got Jeremy Maclin, and then we got DeSean. These are all valuable points in our offense.
Yeah.
And if you give DeSean this kind of money, where would Maclin fall? Maclin's having a better year than DeSean this year, you know?
Maclin's a very good player. I mean, Maclin's a physical, more physical player, better blocker, not as explosive per se, but the Eagles have two very good receivers here. It is a tough, tough decision and a very important one for the Eagles organization. Do they keep both? I would love that. I would love to keep DeSean Jackson here. That kid's got a lot of talent, got a lot of pizzazz, got a lot of charisma. She's got to make sure the football's his first priority.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only worry. I just don't want to see the team get dismantled.
Yeah, I agree. Javon, give me a prediction.
I don't even want to say. I mean, I don't think we win in this game, to be honest. And if Vince Young plays and Mike Vick doesn't, then it's going to be a blowout. I don't even want to put scores up on the board.
Give me a prediction. Come on.
All right. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say 31-27 Eagles.
Okay. Wouldn't it be funny if you won? Thanks, Javon.
That'd be great. All right, bye.
Thanks. Yeah, it should be a great game up there. Very telling game for the Eagles, just from a standpoint of the players in the locker room, their ability to focus, their ability to have pride, their ability to wake up and look at the reality of the situation here. 3-6. 3-6. So, I mean, the quarterback situation is a big one, you know. Among many. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. Dave Spadaro with you tonight. It's Eagles Nightly. And then, by the way, December 3rd, it's a big day for Eagles fans. And you guys have pre-registered in very nice numbers, but we need more. It's the 4th annual Philadelphia Eagles Blood Drive. And now is the time, Eagles fans, to be extraordinary and help save a life. All presenting blood donors will receive a special Eagles blanket. 6 lucky donors will be randomly selected to win a pair of AAA Fan Zone party tickets to the 2012 season home opener. Call or visit today. Online, it's redcrossblood.org/Eagles, 1-800-RED-CROSS, the telephone number to call to register for your donation. Please do it. Holiday season, really, really important. Need to bolster the reserves of blood. So we need your help. Thanks so much. Chris in New York. Hey, Chris.
What's up, Hayes?
What's up? What's up?
Obviously, we're not asking how everyone's doing because we're all miserable.
Right. Right.
Sorry, just cover your earphones. I came off a vacation, so I haven't had time to say this, but how in good God's names do we lose to the Cardinals at home?
Well, I'll tell you why, Chris. It was a completely uninspired performance, top to bottom. And if you take a team lightly, once again, the lesson is you will lose in the NFL. And the Eagles clearly took the Arizona Cardinals lightly and played a lousy game. A lousy
football
game. I
know in week 11, I'll be looking at draft picks.
Well, it's. I don't do that, but I hear you, man. It's a tough spot right now. Really tough spot.
Yeah, I guess the big thing with Dave, with DeSean Jackson, I agree with most of the calls, the front office and DeSean Jackson boss, whatever it was, because
it takes two to tango.
But a big stat, which I read somewhere, he makes less than a long snapper this year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, listen, he's on his rookie contract. That's just the reality of it. He's on his rookie contract, and I'm sure that he's had opportunities to sign deals here that he's turned down. I don't know what he's looking for. I don't know what the Eagles are offering, you know, what their number is, what they have in mind for DeSean Jackson. I just know that a deal has not gotten done.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it takes two to tango.
Yes, it does.
You know, but I just got to say, Andy Reid is a great coach. I mean, how Juan Castillo sold himself to him is, you know, a great mystery of the world, but I'm going to stick with Reid, you know. I'm standing behind him.
Good. Good, good. Boy, whoa, look at that play. Hey, let's give me a prediction for Sunday.
All right. Well, since I'm going to give you my prediction, the Eagles 52, the Giants 45.
You'll be up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, probably.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
All right. Have a good Eagles day.
You got it, my friend. Have a great Eagles day yourself. Let's go to Mike Kafka. could be the quarterback in the locker room. What has he been told? What is his perspective as far as the quarterback situation for Sunday night?
Meeting in a minute. I got a couple questions.
You got to be getting some first team reps out there, do you think?
Well, Coach, obviously, Coach Reed has a plan, so we'll know in practice.
Has he told you anything about that plan?
Yes. Yes.
Anything you can share with us?
Nope.
Mike, is it hard to just? I mean, Andy said you're going to split reps with Vince today. Is it hard to get into a rhythm when you're not the guy on every
rep? Well, every opportunity you get, he's going to make sure you execute the offense. That's probably the most important thing.
Do you look at these opportunities? I know you prepare yourself as you're going to start every week. But do you look at this as an opportunity to, you know, further show that you can play in this league and you can be a starting quarterback in this league?
Absolutely. The approach you take, you know, for every practice, for every game, for every opportunity you get to run the offense, you're showcasing yourself and your abilities.
Knowing Vic, do you expect him to play Sunday? Just how, you know, how he toughed it out on Sunday?
Vic's a tough guy. You know, I wouldn't expect anything less.
How much pain is Mike in? How much do you feel for him? Just beat up this year?
I mean, he's got a couple broken ribs, so I'm assuming it's got to hurt. I've never had any broken ribs, so I can't.
Can you see, though, like, just him walking around, if he's in pain, things of that nature?
He's a tough guy, so he hides it pretty well if he isn't feeling any pain.
Mike, are you under the impression that you will be, like, almost competing with Vince today to show that you can be the guy on Sunday in case they need you?
I'm focused on is just, you know, executing our offense, really. Whatever plays I'm given, go to the best, do it the best of my ability.
Of course you want to play, you want to show them your best, you want to show them that you can do it.
Of course.
Did Andy say when he may make a decision?
Guys, I actually got to run. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Mike. Right,
yep, thanks, guys.
That is Mike Kafka. Now Chad Hall, promoted to the 53-man roster last year, played in 8 games, 11 catches, caught a touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys in the last game of the regular season. He has been promoted to the active roster. Jarrett Page has been released. Chad Hall, elated to be up and ready to go on game days.
Thank you. I'm just happy to be able to help this team again, and look forward to doing it however I can.
Going through last year, help you be patient. You know, this year being on the practice squad, I'm sure you felt at some point you might get your time again.
Yeah, I mean, I knew how it worked last year, so this year was a little different after playing last year, so it was a little tougher, you know, being back on the practice squad. But I've gotten better every week, helping this team every way I can, you know, on scout team, and now I get a chance to help them on Sunday.
How frustrating was it to, you know, you had a role last year, you not only played, but, you got the ball in some big situations, and you had a role, and to go from that to, you know, being on the practice squad the next year, how difficult was that?
I mean, it is difficult. I mean, you want to be out on that field. That's why we play this game, to compete and to make plays. Especially, this is such a great organization, such a great team. You want to help them in every way you can on Sundays in front of everybody. But, I mean, you either can look at it and get down about it and be bitter, or I took it every day to get better, and every day, the next day could be the time where they call me up. You know, you never know when injuries happen, practice, games, whatever. So, I mean, I stayed ready, and it was hard at first, but then I got focused immediately.
How are you better this year than at this time last year?
Well, I mean, last year coming in, I mean, it really was my first time actually playing receiver. I mean, so getting off the line, running routes, everything was, I was learning something every day. This year, I don't think about it. I play, and I just have a lot more confidence out there.
I'm sorry if you answered before. Is there a chance you could be returning kicks on? Is that something that you?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I do. So there's definitely a possibility.
Was it harder to sit with the team?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe.
Was harder to sit when the team was struggling and you felt kind of helpless not to be out there helping?
I mean, it definitely is, because the main thing I want is us to be winning. So the losses hurt a lot worse than anything else.
Last week, was that a tough one to watch, because it was a game where with some wide receivers down, you really could have made an impact?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with Deshaun not being able to play, and
me think, you know, it happened so late in the week, you know, nothing could happen, But, yeah, I mean, but every week's the same, you know, I wanted to be out there.
A lot of times when a guy gets promoted from the practice squad, especially on other teams, it's insurance and stuff. But last year when you did, you were thrown in. I mean, they used you in so many different ways. Do you expect that?
Again, I do. I do. I mean,
see a prominent action.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about being versatile in this league. You can do a bunch of different things. So whatever they ask me, I mean, I was ready last year. I'm even more ready this year.
How'd you find out this morning?
Well, I mean, we just had a couple plays in where if there's a situation, you know, we only have four wide receivers with Jeremy. So they're like, you know, if something happens, you just got to be ready. You got to know these formations and everything. So it was just an idea, but
if something happens, wink, wink.
Right. But I mean, I didn't really actually know until I see you at my locker. I figured something came
really out.
Huh? For sure. I mean, you know, you just,
no one told you?
Well, you just hear stuff, you know, and I mean, I'm sure I got some texts, but from my agent or something, but I mean, everything was just hearsay. You know, I still technically haven't signed anything, so.
So maybe it's not.
So maybe y'all are all tricked. Maybe we're tricking. We're tricking everybody.
Surprise! We're just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did your agent hear from any teams along the way, like while you were on there?
I mean, different. I did. I definitely wanted to be an Eagle the whole time, but yeah, there was definitely some interest.
Can you say you turned down some offers, or you just?
No.
Okay.
You just.
Yeah. Thanks. You're gonna have to tweet less now. Less time to tweet.
Right. Got restrictions.
Thanks, man.
I've got to say, I find it refreshing to see his enthusiasm, his appreciation, his pure joy at being on the active roster. That's the right kind of attitude to have. Let's go to Amir in New Jersey. Hi, Amir.
Hey, what's up, Dave, man? How you doing?
Did you just ask me how I'm doing?
Yeah, he's doing good.
What's our rule this week, Amir? We don't ask.
Eagle Nation.
I deep down am miserable. Okay, I don't like being 3-6. So, rather than be a complete brat, a spoiled baby that I am, a bad loser that I am, a poor sport that I admit that I am, I hate to lose. If you ask me how I am, that's how I am. So let's not ask me how I am. So I don't expose myself to all of you as that. A miserable 3-6 guy right now. I'm really genuinely happy at work. I really love my job, win or lose. But like, if you don't win, it sucks a lot. So let's ignore that part of it. I'm trying to become a better person. And to be a better person, I need you to not ask me how I am so that I don't fall into the temptation of being a baby and a bitter baby, bad, spoiled brat loser.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got a question about the game, though.
Yes, please.
You think, like, if we would have played Nnamdi on Fitzgerald the whole game, it would have? You think the results would have been different?
Yes. Yes, I do. I don't think that he would have caught 7 passes for 146 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Gerald got an open pass every time Nnamdi did. But if he would have covered him the whole game, I think the results would have been way different.
Yes. Yes. But
or any type of situation.
Alas, it did not happen, and we move on. And now I look forward to beating the Giants.
Yeah, Giants. Yeah, that's an easy dub for us.
An easy W?
Yeah, we're getting that.
Woo-wee! I like that enthusiasm. What do you think? Give me a prediction, then.
28-17.
So what you're telling me is the Eagles will score 28 points. And the Giants will score 17 points. Okay. Amir, thank you.
All right, Dave.
All right. And only ask me how I'm doing, guys, after a win. Because I'm a baby. I don't like to lose. I'm a miserable wretch in the office after a loss. And then I can't control my emotions. And then I'm a baby to you, and I rant and I rave, and you guys all make fun of me, and it's just not a pleasant situation. So I'm trying to get a little little stability. Maybe some transcendental meditation is needed. Something is needed because at 3-6, I want to be on the field making a difference. Now, the Eagles don't want me on the field making a difference because there's no difference I can make. I'm a wreck. But you know what I mean? You know how you feel after games like this? All right, here we go. Injuries, get you updated here. Vic, Dunlap, Macklin, Rogers, Cromartie will not practice. Evan Mathis will, as will Nate Allen. Who plays quarterback on Sunday night? I don't know that. I don't think the Eagles know that yet. They have not counted out Michael Vick. Both Kafka and Vince Young will take reps with the ones at times today. Chad Hall promoted to the 53-man roster. Jarrett Page, out of here. Joe in Wisconsin. Hi, Joe.
I'm lousy.
Yeah, I know you are.
I just don't understand it, and I can't figure out why this team, regardless of what they think about the run, don't run the ball.
They run the ball. Joe, they ran for 150 yards. They scored 10 points on offense.
Minutes, they didn't even get the ball to Shady McCoy.
In the fourth quarter, I agree with that. Get in the football. Ed Kane taking a shot on the sidelines here. Hey, guys, let me just show you this here because we all laugh about it internally. So Shady gets pushed out of bounds. He gets pushed into the guy in the white shirt. Poof! That guy's bowling shoulders in jeopardy. He's a heck of a bowler, too. Bang! Oh, Jamar Chaney there to catch him. Casualties of this game we call football that you don't pay any attention to, but we do. Joe, I'm get the ball to Shady Moore, make some stops on defense, win the battle on special teams, all of the above.
What are the defense? I mean, Asante, from what I could determine on that pass to Fitzgerald, he just stopped.
That's what Brian Baldinger said. He watched the film of it and has been very vocal out there in his criticism of Asante for that play. I don't know the call. I don't know what the situation was.
Okay, I heard that Asante was doing as usual, trying to read the eyes of the quarterback, and he thought the route was going to come inside, and he just stopped right there to sit on it. And Fitzgerald just went right on by him.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to talk to Asante about that, talk to Juan about that, and whatever, whoever, team thing, nobody, you know, the pass rush didn't get to Skelton, the coverage didn't cover Fitzgerald. It's a combination of things.
I didn't, you know, for a team that had a second quarterback playing, I mean, they got to him, what, two times, two sacks?
No, the Eagles had four sacks.
Four, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I missed something then. But
Eagle, for three quarters, the Eagles defense played terrific football.
But, listening to Merle Mike, you know, just listening to them call it, there was no energy, there was no enthusiasm, you know, you couldn't hear, you know, the excitement in the crowd. It was like dead.
Yeah. It was a very, I guess, Joe, lackadaisical environment. All around.
I mean, I'm a diehard fan. I want my team to win, but my gosh, dropping all these games at home is
bizarre. Yeah.
Wild. I don't understand it. I really don't know where they're thinking or why. The other thing is, now, I don't know if this, why, it just seems like Marty and Andy, they get so focused on one thing and they don't change. They just, you know, they always want to throw the ball to be aggressive, but sometimes they got to change something. Or
yeah, I mean, they and Joe, give me a prediction in a second here, but maybe they were 8-man fronts, maybe they were matchups coverage wise that they thought they could exploit. It didn't work. They're responsible for it, so you know they deserve the blame.
I don't believe Vic is that complete quarterback that everybody thinks he is. I believe he's a great athlete. I believe he can run the ball and throw it, but he is just not that good of a complete quarterback that you see out of Brady and those guys. And he's been around long enough that he should be very well, a very well,
rounded,
well quarterback.
Complete, you know, a complete, well rounded, accurate, beat you with the pass, throw in and make the plays. I hear you.